Let me start with a quote from our dear Wormwood. I shared this last Sunday. Remember, C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Screwtape Letters? This is from Uncle Screwtape to his head demon, Wormwood. And this is us today, right? This is written, let's see, C.S. Lewis died in 63, same day, I think, that JFK died, John F. Kennedy. I think the same day. Yeah. So he wrote in the 40s, 50s. Be sure that the patient remains completely fixated on politics. Arguments, political gossip, and obsessing on the faults of people they have never met serve as an example or an excellent distraction from advancing in virtue, character formation, and the things the patient can control. Make sure to keep the patient in a constant state of angst, frustration, and general disdain towards the rest of the human race in order to avoid any kind of charity or inner peace from further developing. Be sure the patient continues to believe that the problem is out there in the broken system rather than recognizing that the problem is within himself. Keep up the good work. So when we're talking about the kingdom, both here and now, we're going to hear those words a lot over the next number of Sundays. The kingdom is here and in us. It's here and now and not yet. You're going to hear me talk about the not yet as well. So today I want to talk about a message that's really, Jesus mentioned a lot about the kingdom. I mean, he fulfilled the priestly, prophet, and the king offices all in one. Jesus fulfilled those. So he is the king, the reigning king. It's a phrase you've heard before, but today I want to pray that we would hear it fresh with fresh ears. The kingdom of God is near. And so our text for today is just one verse, and you're going to hear those words. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 15, he said this, "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God," this is Jesus speaking, "the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Father, thank you that these words were penned so long ago and said by Jesus, recorded, that the kingdom indeed is here and is powerful and at hand. Help us to understand that by your word and through your spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. So it's not far, it's not someday, not just when we die. It's near, it's now, it's here, the kingdom. I'm hoping over the next few weeks that you and I will see that the gospel is powerful and even more practical and even more life-changing than we have ever imagined. The gospel writers, but also the epistle writers, Paul was the primary writer of the epistles. He wrote Philippians to the Philippian church. And Paul wrote this way. He wrote with a sense that, remember, Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Jesus had already been crucified. He had already rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. And Paul meets Jesus and speaks with him on the road to Acts chapter 9, on the road to Damascus. Falls off his horse. There's people with him. And they don't hear what Jesus says, but Paul does. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" That same Saul became Paul, chief writer of the New Testament, the epistles. And he wrote this in Philippians chapter 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." The Lord is near. So Paul wrote with that sense of the kingdom of God is near, but not yet. The Lord is near. Did he mean that the Lord Jesus was near in proximity, in presence? He could have wrote that way. But I think it was more of a sense of the Lord is near in that he's coming back again. He came one time, came the first time as a baby, grew up to be a man, died on the cross, rose again. But he's coming again very soon. And so he wrote with that expectation, that hope. He said, the Lord is near. There's a commentary writer writes this about, in where you see gentleness, let your gentleness be evident to all. There's a translation that says a yieldedness for that word gentleness in the early Greek. Yieldedness. So here's what the commentary writer says about it. The Lord is near. Shows what produces this yieldingness, this gentleness. This is not the constant invisible nearness of Christ. It is the nearness of his parousia. It's a fancy word of saying his second coming. Parousia. No man knew the hour of his coming. Every Christian lived as if he might come at any time. So we do to this day. I'm wondering, how would we live differently if we lived every day with the sense, with the expectation that the Lord is near and that he will soon come again? The kingdom is near. It's a present reality. Mark shares the same sentiment from his gospel. This is, now Mark writes this recording of what Jesus said just after John was put in prison. A good friend of Jesus, John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Christ, that one that would prepare the way for the Messiah, the anointed one. Jesus goes to the Galilee area, and Mark records, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The time is now. It's not into the distant future. The time is at hand. The kingdom is at hand. It's near. It's now. For you and your children, Jesus said it's at hand, or the kingdom has come near. This means you can reach out and touch it. The kingdom is moving now. Matthew 6:10 gives a powerful prayer. This is from the Lord's Prayer, which we will recite here in a few moments when we take communion together. Right in the middle of that prayer, your kingdom come. Listen to the kingdom words that are in the middle of this prayer from Jesus. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're not just waiting to escape the earth and go to heaven. We're called to pray for heaven to come to earth and invade the earth. That's how Martin Luther explained that this petition. The Lord's Prayer for our confirmation students that are here. Some of you are former confirmation students. Do you remember that? Years ago, how you went through confirmation maybe. Okay, you want to come up and recite the second and third petition? You don't? Okay. No pressure. So here's what Martin Luther said in the second and third petition, which I just read to you from that prayer. Thy kingdom come. What does this mean? He always asked a question. What does this mean? And then he would give a short answer. Answer. The kingdom of God comes indeed without our prayer of itself, but we pray in this petition that it may come to us also. How is this done? Here's the other question. Answer. When our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead a godly life here in time and there in eternity. That's the second petition. Here's the third petition. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean? Martin Luther goes on to say, answer, the good and gracious will of God is done indeed without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. Do you see how he personalizes it? He says, you don't necessarily have to pray for it, but I pray that God would get a hold of you in such a way that you would believe that the kingdom is here now and you would receive it and live it. What does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is done indeed without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. How is this done? Answer, when God breaks and hinders every evil counsel and will that would not allow, let us hallow the name of God nor let his kingdom come, such as the will of the devil, the world, and the flesh. Instead, he strengthens and keeps us steadfast in his word and in faith until we die. This is his gracious and good will. End of the quote of the third petition. The kingdom is more than heaven. The kingdom is more than a destination. It's a transformation. Jesus' miracles were signs of what the kingdom looked like. As a part of what he did was he would point to certain things and he would teach about certain things. And they had kingdom principles written all over them. He would feed the hungry and heal the sick and welcome the outcast. All kingdom principles, all kingdom characteristics, all kingdom kinds of things for us to see and witness and understand the true nature of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When we forgive, when we love our enemies, when we serve others, we live out the kingdom now. And the kingdom is more than the church as well. The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed necessarily. Luke 17 says this, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Hard to get an understanding or an impact of what the kingdom of God is, and that's what we're going to flesh out over the next number of Sundays. The kingdom of God is in your midst. It's ushered in by the Lord Jesus himself. He is the kingdom of God, and he gives it to us as his people by faith. So Jesus ushered in the kingdom of God. We, the church, are a part of the kingdom, but it's not the whole kingdom. The kingdom is wherever God reigns. And the word reigns is a kingdom word. The king reigns in homes. The king reigns in workplaces. The king reigns in communities. You are, could we say, a carrier, a vessel of the kingdom. You are. The king lives inside of you. So then if the king is living inside of me and inside of you, how then shall we live? As an ambassador and representative of the king. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom. Kingdom words, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. All what things? All the things. He knows what you need. And he'll take care of those things. Everything. Put the kingdom first in your time, in your decisions, in your relationships. Kingdom living means loving and serving and trusting and forgiving and giving because you were first loved, served, blessed, forgiven, and given to as a child of the King. You are an ambassador of heaven. You are a son or a daughter of the King. Wherever you are, wherever you go, you take him with you. Jesus is the light of the world, and he tells you once again this morning, you are the light of the world. The kingdom of God is near. It's not far off. It's not just for the spiritually elite. It's for you. It's here, and it's now. Perhaps the best way to understand the kingdom of God is the passage given to us by the Apostle Paul from Romans chapter 14, Verse 17, he says it this way. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Wherever people relate rightly to God, wherever there is peace of God, wherever there is joy of our salvation, that's where the kingdom of God is. One great Old Testament example would be the book of Daniel. Daniel was a servant of God who lived in exile in Babylon. Remember, they swept down and took all the Israelites up north to the north kingdom of Babylon, and they were in occupation for 70 years. Daniel was a part of that. They saw something good in Daniel. They saw that he had knowledge, he had wisdom. He believed in one God, and he got in trouble for that. He got thrown into the lion's den, right? The fiery furnace. Daniel prayed three times a day. He would get down on his knees. He's opened the window, and he would pray to God. He was a servant of God, and yet Daniel's life was characterized by righteousness, by peace, and by joy, even in the midst of those hard things. Daniel's life and ministry was an outpost of God's kingdom. And this should give us all hope, because that way we can understand more about being an ambassador to God's kingdom. So if Daniel lived in harmony with God in a strange and foreign land, surely we can live in kingdom ways where we work, go to school, and hang out where God has planted us. God's kingdom is in us and among us. And yes, on Sunday morning at church, you can discover a group of imperfect people who have come together to try to learn to do God's will, God's way, for God's sake. That's us. The people of Israel were tired of the judges that God had given them. And they noticed something around them, peoples that lived around them in their nation that they were living in, the land that they were living in, that these other nations had kings that ruled over them. And so the people cried out to God and to Samuel, Prophet Samuel. And they said, these other nations have kings. We're tired of these judges. Give us a king. Sadly, the Lord allowed it and told Samuel, give him a king. But first tell them what the king is going to require of them. It's not going to be good, because a king can rule and reign harshly on his subjects. So Samuel raised up and anointed Saul as Israel's first king. He was a head taller than everybody else, handsome. And he believed and trusted God at the start. But then it was all about Saul, and he forgot God. And God withdrew his hand from him. Samuel then anointed another one. Remember who it was? Who was the second king? Little shepherd boy. David. A man after God's own heart. The reason God gave them a king in the first place was because they forgot him as their king. And he's a loving king. He rules and reigns over his people, not with an iron hand, but with a loving hand. And that's the king we serve, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And when we say yes to Jesus by faith, he comes in, and the kingdom is here inside of us, with us, and amongst us. So you are part of the kingdom of God when you say yes to Jesus by faith. This great kingdom is what we will study in the next coming weeks. God's kingdom is not owned by any one culture or any one denomination. God's kingdom exists wherever Jesus the King has dominion in the hearts and minds and lives of his followers. It means that the kingdom of God can sneak in anywhere and can operate in any environment, and that's the good news. I invite you to join me on this journey of discovering God's kingdom. You are a part of that kingdom, so let's discover together what it means to be in God's kingdom and to be his ambassadors and representatives of his kingdom. I will pray, and then we will partake in communion together, and then we'll sing together. Lord, Father, thank you that your kingdom is near, and that we desire and want to be a part of that. Help us, Lord, to seek your reign in every part of our lives. And may your will be done in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our hearts, just as it is in heaven. Lord, make us kingdom people, living for your glory, reflecting your love, and carrying your hope. We pray this in Jesus' name.